Access number 31466, Mr. Tom Stringer, Reel 7. Now, one thing you mentioned there, we're talking about your time in Camp 317. You mentioned you were on repatriation.
Yeah.
Now, you haven't mentioned this. When did you find out that, that you were live? Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether you were, but you certainly were on it. Now, what was the process of being repatriated, if you see what I mean?
Well, I think it's the British officer told me that you were down for repatriation. That's all I knew. How he found it, or he must have given my name in for repatriation and to the German authorities.
And had you been investigated about it? Or
No. They relied on the British officers.
And who was this? That's one part of it. And did anything come of that, the repatriation?
No, because the war finished before.
Now, what about this British officer? We haven't mentioned him, because I thought normally there wasn't a British officer in a camp. Normally it's BNCOs.
Yeah,
who was the British officer and what was he doing?
I showed him this. He gave me this.
Now, we're just having a look at it. And it was from, I can't quite read it, but Padre Long.
Long.
He was a padre.
Yeah.
That says Stalag 317, and that says Germany.
He's got that wrong. It was Austria.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Because I thought it was in Austria.
Yeah.
So that's and he gave you that in May 44, which
that's
puts
right.
it nicely.
He signed it.
So he probably gave it to you when you arrived at the camp.
Yeah.
Now, what was the role of Padre? He was Padre Long. What did the Padre do for you generally, if anything? I'm not sure how religious you were or that sort of, but I mean, what was his role, do you think?
We're just looking after troops mainly. Yeah, I don't know. We didn't have
it
many.
It wasn't particularly religious then, as far as you were concerned.
No.
Before, he was just somebody to intercede for you.
Yeah.
Did he do a good job?
I thought so, yeah. Yeah, he's done his job as well, yeah.
Now,
that's that. Sorry.
Now, how did you get on with the other prisoners? Because sometimes in prisoner of war camps, not everyone gets on that well. It's a bit on top of you. How did you? And sometimes it's great.
Yeah.
How did you get on with your? Did you make any friends? What did you get on?
Oh yeah, I thought it was all fairly good, really. The trouble is, they're all so weak that all the conversation was all about food all the time, and. When we got these three potatoes every 3 weeks, we used to stick them on these Sawyer stoves, like a baked potato. We used to stick them on the stove because the heat used to slice the potato. And once they got these potatoes on the stove, they used to talk about when they went to Lion's Corner House and things like that, and because they knew they had this potato to eat after.
Did you make any friendships that lasted with the people in there?
No.
Or were they just more acquaintances?
No, I knew some acquaintances. See, I've got some dresses here. This is an old diary.
So you took some addresses at the time?
Yes, United States, some from the United States. They are kept in touch with by the time.
So a few that you made. Yeah, so you did make some reasonable friends there.
Oh yeah.
And did you get on with them? Did you mix together different nationalities? I mean, there's some American ones there. Did you all mix together?
No. When we first at 317, there was the Americans were there, and I thought they were good because they were a good laugh. But then they took the Americans away, and to me, the camp went right down. They made the camp, they were lively, and I thought they were pretty good, really, to get on with.
Now, so what happened next then? What's the next thing that happens? Because we looked at some general things. So you moved in the camp in round about May. So what happened next?
And then, it was monotonous there. It was no food. It was Austrian winter. It was really cold.
So that's after the summer, you move into the winter.
Winter, yeah.
Or are you talking when you first arrived? Because April's hardly winter like that.
Yeah.
You mean round the back?
Yeah.
And what was that winter like?
It was very cold, the winter. Yeah, the snow all around the huts. Sometimes it nearly come up to the windowsill, the snow, yeah. Yeah, it's a very cold place. And then...
Anything happening, any events or just humorous incidents?
No, the planes used to come over, Allied planes used to come over, and quite quantities of them have come over. But I think they're on the way to Munich. The Germans used to set up their guns on the tower, but then when they saw the number of planes, they just dismantled them and came down again.
And how did you feel? Were you worried they'd bomb you? I mean, or was it just good seeing the bombers?
Well, it's good seeing the bombers come over, yeah. I don't think they... I think to us, we thought that they knew that it was a POW camp.
Now, tell me, you got news of what was going on. What did you think of the progress of the war? Because you got BBC,
yeah,
you know, regularly,
yeah,
off
yeah.
your radio. What did you think of the progress of the war? I mean, you heard about D-Day, you heard about what was going on in Italy. What did you think of it all?
Yeah, we thought we was doing well. We thought, oh, we'll soon be out, you know, the way that things are going. Until they came with, what was that? The Germans drove back again, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, the battle in the Ardennes.
Ardennes, yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah, that, near Christmas. Yes, I remember that Christmas because a lot of the Poles, young Poles, came in from the Warsaw Ghetto to Camp 317.
And what state were they in?
They're mostly youngsters, really. Poles, yeah.
But were they in... How well treated have they been?
I don't think they've been very well treated when they was in Poland. But then we had Serbs as well come in. And the Serbs are rated very good. They were always reliable, the Serbs. And the Poles were, really. Yeah.
So you all got on well. Do you understand each other at all?
Not really. Sometimes you get somebody who could speak a bit of pidgin English. That you know, you made yourself known really what you wanted to say. Really.
So what happens next then? Any things that you just remember from life in the camp? Just funny things. Just you know, I know it's difficult just to pin on things.
No. I can't.
Okay. What's the next thing you remember then?
The next was I remember when the. The guards left the camp.
Now tell me about that. You were telling me about how the BNCO was involved. The senior British NCO was involved. So what happened when the guards left?
Yeah. The guards left the camp, and then the Russians took over the camp, and they put a Russian sentry where the Germans had just gone. A Russian sentry was put up there, and then the camp, our British camp commander, he said, well. He said, the Russians are here, really, to protect you. He said, keep in the camp. Don't go away from the camp because the Russians are protecting you. Because there are the SS parties roaming around, and if you're loose, turning, you know, on your own, they'll just bump you off. So he said, keep in the camp. But a lot of them didn't heed what he said, started wandering off. Which was stupid, really, because they had no food to go with, you know, so...
You didn't know.
No, but then the Americans took over from the Russians.
So when did the Russians arrive, roughly speaking?
The Russians arrived, that was in... Must have been April, late April.
Just before the end of the war.
Oh, yeah.
And so when were the Americans arrived?
And they arrived about a few days after the Russians. And they took over.
So still right. April or into May?
Still the end of April. Towards the end of April.
Now, what sort of reception did you? Was that a bigger thing, the arrival of the Americans than the Russians had been?
Oh yeah, we're pleased to see anybody who took over the camp apart from the German. So now the Russians are all right.
Have the food improved? You know, when the Russians improved.
When the Americans arrived, we had the. Typical American tables laid out, and there was some. They said, well, we'd like to give you eggs, bacon, sausages tomorrow, but it would kill you if we did. So he said, you'd have to start with just an egg, boiled egg, a bit of toast. But they said, we'd like to give you more, but we didn't.
And was that, I mean, it is true that you can make yourself ill.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
going so long with very little, and then suddenly. Have a great big meal. No, it's dangerous. Yeah.
So what weight had you got to?
I think I must have been about going at right stone when I left the camp.
And what are you normally?
I'm not much more than that now, about 9 to 10, that's all.
But so you hadn't lost that much then?
I did, from the... When I first came home, I was really... I was going to put it back again, though. But I've never been, locked away. Although the best weight was in early in England when I was working in the mess.
So what happened next? The Americans come in, they put you on a restricted diet, but stuff. What else is happening?
It was very quickly, we weren't there long, and then we got an American transport to Salzburg.
Lorry,
yeah, Salzburg. And then the airport there, we went via Dakota to Reims. It's in France, isn't it, Reims? That was American base, yeah.
What do you think of the first flight?
And Dakota, it was up and down that, but but saved all this journey right across Europe. And then we stayed a night at Reims, and then we were put on a Lancaster to Bryce Norton in Oxfordshire. That's a Air Force camp base.
And when did you get back? May then?
May, yeah.
War was still going on?
No, the war's finished then, yeah.
Where did you had your... do you remember VE Day? Did you celebrate that at all, or were you in the camp?
No, in the camp.
Any celebrations?
No, we just happy.
So what happened when you got back?
Well, getting at Bryce Norton, I was better not... Because when we were at this Reims under American base, we were given brand new underwear, brand new battle dress, new socks, shoes, all fitted out. We were given hot showers, but we came back to Bryce Norton. When we got off the plane, we met at a gate to the camp there at Bryce Norton, and there was these ATS girls with anti-lice powder, and they were spraying us with all this powder. And we were covered with powder all over our battle dress, and we were a bit annoyed about it because we had showers in at Reims with Americans, brand new clothes. There was no need for that. And then we went to the dining hall, and we were given a meal there, and they put an ATS girl each side of the troops. So, but we had no conversation because we didn't know what was happening in England. We didn't know anything about income tax or anything at all. So we had no conversation. But these ATS girls were specially trained how to deal with prisoners, because they're prisoners, a bit of a dull lot, prisoners. So when we were there with the meal, we were sitting there with this powder over us, which was I wasn't very pleased with that. So then they, at the place, they gave us some rail tickets to visit home. They sent telegrams to our home. So then my mother knew I was coming home the next day.
And what sort of reception did you get from your mum and just the locals when you got back home?
Well, funny thing that I got home and out in Burnside Road, Dagenham, knocked at the door, and nobody in. I was standing there with a kit bag, and then one of the neighbours came by and said, "Oh, you're back again. Your mother's not long, she's just gone down shopping." So then my mother came back, and then my sister came back.
And so, what was it like? How did you feel? How did they feel?
I don't know. It's to me, to be in civilian, I couldn't cope with it, first of all. I thought it was so strange, So,
did you have trouble with, being back in and... later?
Yeah, I couldn't... but then I went on a course how to be a civilian, because they train you to be a civilian to a soldier. Now, this course was to train you to be a soldier to a civilian. and we were taken all round the industries and that, and John Dickinson's at Apsley, and
where was this course based at?
Somewhere in Hertfordshire, I think the place.
Now, what was the course like?
It was only, giving you, educating you on the way of life, the really way of life, really.
And did it introduce you to any jobs that were useful to you, new jobs that you might do?
Yeah, they took us all round the industry, the motor industry, Vauxhalls, Luton. Another place where they were showing us how they made suits and clothing and that. It was quite a good course, really.
And how long did that last for?
It was just a week.
So when were you demobilised straight away after that, or...?
No, I still, I don't think they knew what to do with me, because on my paper it's got unfit for military service, no longer requiring army physical standards.
When have they done that? Had you had a medical exam for that?
Yes, I went to somewhere in Euston and saw the Ministry of Pensions doctors, and then I had a letter saying that I was entitled to a pension, and then they gave me a pension. I think it was 7 and 6, but that's the old money.
Did that start before you left the army, or only when you'd left the army?
No, it didn't start till I'd left the army, because I was still under army pay.
Well, I'll come back to the pension. So they graded you as unfit for duties or service.
Unfit for, it just said on the pay book, no longer fulfilling army physical requirements.
So why didn't they just demobilise you then?
I think they had so many people to deal with that it took time, really.
So where did they send you? You went on the resettlement course, and where after that?
I came back, I just done nothing at all until...
But home, leave, on leave?
Yeah, leave, yes, leave. They kept sending me, telling me to keep on leave and sending me army pay.
And what were you doing on leave?
I'm just enjoying...
You didn't get a job or anything, or move?
No, I couldn't, because I couldn't get a job till I was marked off army books, you see.
So what happened there? How long was that going on for?
That went on until, I think I started a job in...
Well, when were you demobbed? That would come first, wouldn't it?
Demobbed in 1945. I think the end of 46.
That's an enormous long time.
Yeah.
Because you're just at home doing nothing, really.
Doing nothing, but they kept sending me army pay, you see.
So, back end of, December 46?
Yeah, and then 1947.
Yeah. So what happened when you came out? I mean, you came out December 46. What was going to happen? What was the process of being demobilised? What actually happened? You were at home anyway.
Yeah, at home. I had a letter saying I'd been demobbed. And, I could apply for a job. And then...
Well, tell me about your pension. Did you get the pension straight away?
Yes, I got a pension of, I think it was 7 and 6 pence.
What percentage... invalid were you reckoned to be at the time?
I was the lowest, one of the lowest percentages.
So not the lowest. It was a token more than anything else?
Yeah, it was the lowest. So, but then...
So how did you go about getting a job then?
Being used to outside life, I wanted an outside job.
You didn't want to be a clerk again?
No, but then when I went to the Labour... people, they said to me, well, look, you can't, you're useless outside, you wouldn't be any good on working on farms or an outside, because you need skill on some of these outside, and you're useless with your left arm. So they advised me to keep back to my old job as a clerk. So I had to go back on administration, and I joined the railway at the district engineers at Stratford, in the office there, the accounts.
So you were an accounts clerk. Was that your career? Is that what you did?
No, before the war, I was in an office at Amory Parks.
Oh, oh no, I know you've been in that, but did you stay, once you'd started as an accounts clerk, did you stay in that job?
Yes, at Stratford, and then I went to the Chief Civil Engineers at King's Cross.
As an accounts clerk?
No, no, as in the, I think, the production materials office. Yeah, so
as an office clerk?
Yeah.
So that was basically your career, office work?
Yeah.
And, I mean, well, how did you feel about that? You hadn't wanted to do that?
No, I knew really they were right that I was useless. Anything to do with hands, I wouldn't be any good at. So I think I had to settle down. I knew I had to settle down as some clerical work.
Did you continue to get the pension?
Yes, I think they dropped it from a time. I dropped it from 7/6 back to after a few weeks, they dropped it back to 5 shillings. So I made an appeal, and I think I lost the appeal. So, but then, I know it's some years on, but when I was at Age Concern, it's only a few years ago, I was talking to a chap who was a prisoner on the railway, in, you know, the Japanese railway. And I was talking to him one day at the lunch table there, and he said to me, what percentage of pension do I get? I said, I'm getting the lowest. He said, why are you getting a pension? I said, because I can't use my hand. So he had a look, and he said, I'm getting a far bigger pension than you. And he was in charge of the pension people on the British Legion. He said, phone this number and you'll get a call to come down. So I phoned the number and filled the form in, and the chap came down from the Ministry of Pensions. So his doctor was a coloured chap, but he was a doctor, and he had an examination, and one of the questions he asked me, he said, what division were you in? So I said, 4th Indian. Well, this doctor was Indian. So he took all notes of where the wounds are and that. Then he said, it's not up to me, but he said, I'll see what I can do. And a few weeks after, I got a high rate of pension.
Did it go up much?
Quite a bit, yeah, right from the lowest to, I think, second or third lowest.
Well, your hand is quite badly injured. I mean, you know, it's your left hand, and you are right-handed.
Right-handed, yeah. Yeah.
And it's still... It is a handicap.
Well, if you want to do certain jobs, that's where you're handicapped. Where a grip comes into it.
Could you type with it?
I had to go on this course of typing just to get the use of the fingers, get the home keys, and it was still, I wasn't as good as some of the other people on the typing course because they were quicker than
me. Did you type in your work much in the office?
No.
They
knew I'd be useless as a typist.
Were you happy with your treatment by the pension people in the end, or do you think it should have been up before?
This chap told me, he said, they've underpaid you for years, he said.
Did you get any back pay for it?
No. No.
Did you mind much, or?
I was a bit annoyed, really, that I left it so late. Yeah.
How did you settle down back into civilian life, because you'd had some pretty bad experiences. You'd been blown up by this grenade, and then you'd been in prison at war camp, and neither of that. Mentally and physically, how do you think you coped when you got back into civilian life?
Well, I tried to cope as best as I could.
Did you have any problems?
Yeah, I think...
Nightmares, or just people getting on your nerves?
I used to get dreams about this... building monastery, a casino. It came not as it was, but in different forms, with a falling through a hollow building and things like that. But then I used to get so many of these, and then I used to hear stories about chaps that have been mentally affected by bombing. When the Stukas used to dive, they used to affect them. So how they done to cure them was play a record with Stukas all the time. In the end, it cured them. So I thought, I got this chap to do, an artist, a local artist, to do me a picture which I'd done up there, put that in the wall, and after that I never had any dreamt of a casino.
So that worked for you.
That cured, yeah.
How did you get on with civilians? Did you have any trouble? I mean, could civilians have slightly different values and lifestyle? Did you fit back into that?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
No problems?
No.
And are you a member of any regimental association of British Legion or anything like that?
I'm a member of the Fourth Ethics or Comrades Association.
And what do they do?
They're pretty good because the membership secretary, she phones me every few weeks, you know, and they keep in touch all the time and let you know when there's an annual dinner, which I've been to a lot. And then a couple of years ago, they went on a pilgrimage to a casino.
Did you go?
Yes, I went with the Royal Anglian.
Was that the first time you'd been back?
No, I went there in 63 with a chap that we were staying at a friend that he knew, the Italian family that he knew, and we stayed there with them for a week, and we were going mostly to the beach. But then one day he said, well, let's go to, this was in Rome, he said, let's go to the casino. So we got on this old train, which was a bone shaker, this train. It took about 3 hours to get from Rome to a casino, stopping at all stations. The engine driver used to get out and buy some sort of fruit and that places. But then we only had time. We didn't get up to the monastery. All we got was just past the station. But then when this pilgrimage came, there was 100 of us went. And they took us. We had two battlefield guides. And they took us round. They didn't go to Hangman's Hill. We weren't allowed to go there. I reckon there's still stuff a bit dangerous. There's still things flying around there. So, and we're responsible for all the members on this trip. So we can't let you go there. But they took us. We went into the monastery. We had the castle, which was a ruined castle.
You went there?
Yeah. And
you recognise it?
Yeah. Well, it's all done up. And they put a plaque to the Essex Regiment that held the castle against counterattack. They made a plaque. And the Italian army gave us an escort. And they had the band there, the Minden band, and it was quite a good do. And quite a few women went with the party as well.
Did you see your old point? I forgot the number. Point what? 157. The point. Did you see that?
175.
Well, that's it. Sorry. And also the Wadi, you know, the place you're based. Did you get a chance to visit that?
No, I never saw point 175. I tried to find out the place where I saw this Corps commander, which was at the bottom there, but it all been. See, the old place was all down. It was greenery. It was like a holiday camp. Looked like a holiday camp. And the casino town was all rebuilt. Everything was brand new, you know.
Any of the caves still there? Because you were in the caves on the other side.
I wasn't allowed to roam around. I said to the battlefield guide, I said, "Can I go to this part where I was blown up?" I said, "There's one on the airfield." He said, "No, we can't let anybody leave the coach party." He said, "We're responsible for people." But he said, "There's long drops there, and if anyone gets hurt, we're responsible for it." And I appreciated that. Yeah.
Was it strange going back there? Because you know, it's where you left your hand in a way. Not left, but I mean, you know, that photo.
Yeah,
the day before you lost your hand.
Yeah.
It obviously means a lot to you. You know.
Yeah, I tried taking shots of the place where I thought was, but it's hard to find when it's all green. It's hard to find.
And are you a member of anything else? So there's the fourth Essex Old Comrades or so. Anything else you remember? That's important to you, military wise.
No, just belong to Bowls Club. I just belong to cricket clubs.
Have you met any of your old comrades since the war?
Sergeant Hawkins, he lives at a place called Hutton now. He was on that a program they put on television. So.
Okay, well, thank you very much.